Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, joins us now, as he always does at noon on a Wednesday. Appreciate you for joining us, Hutton. But we are breaking down Jeremy Fowler's appearance on SportsCenter when he said a wild card team for Lamar Jackson could potentially be the Tennessee Titans. Do you see any way the Titans would pursue Lamar?
I would be surprised, Caroline. Like, I think that we're looking, as a media group, I'm lumping everyone in here, we immediately go to fit. This offense here would fit Lamar Jackson. I don't think there's an offer, though, that Baltimore's not going to match. But I also would not hesitate to negotiate. And that's the big surprise to me with Lamar Jackson and the rest of the NFL. The Titans can be absolutely included in this. They could cut Tannehill right now and save $18 million on the cap. I'm not saying that they automatically get Lamar Jackson, but there's the ability for teams to make room. And for a league and owners and general managers and head coaches that try to preach this offseason mentality of turning over every stone and looking under every nook and cranny to make our team better, I'm really surprised how quickly they jumped out to tell Rappaport and Schefter within an hour or two that they weren't interested in Lamar Jackson whenever he was available as a non-exclusive franchise player, when this never happens for former MVPs. And we're in the middle of an offseason where two MVPs at quarterback are available. There's one suitor for Aaron Rodgers, and right now there's one suitor for Lamar Jackson. One's going to be playing for a different team. The other one's not. And I'm really surprised, based on the fact that, again, both of those quarterbacks are significantly better than the majority of the league's quarterbacks right now.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Why do you think that is, both with Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson, and considering how quarterback hungry this league is?
I think part of it, Caroline, on behalf of Lamar Jackson, is right now he needs an agent. This is the first time I've really felt that way. I think he's played this last 2 years really well, considering he has not had representation, because he hasn't taken the $111 million guarantee that they gave him a year and a half ago, and the $133 million guarantee right before the season started. And then he cut off all discussion about it whenever the season got rolling. And then Baltimore now has the advantage, because I think the assumption was, I was in this camp, well, they'll tag him twice and he'll get $85 to $90 million guaranteed on the quarterback tag line over 2 years. He's basically going to get what Kirk Cousins received in Minnesota on the first 3 years of his deal, only in two. And then he's a unrestricted free agent at the age of 28 after those two tags. But what Baltimore has done with the non-exclusive tag is they've treated him like the Titans treated Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. We're not going to tender you. We're going to give you the non-exclusive tag. Have at it. You're going to represent yourself. Have at it. And if you bring an offer back to us, great. If not, we're going to get you playing for $24 million, or you're going to hold out and get fined for it. So this is where I think Lamar, who doesn't talk to the media at all, there's no sources with Lamar Jackson. All the sources are with the Ravens. This is where the agent truly benefits a player, when we're kind of in the no man's land of the offseason and the quarterback is grasping at straws, having random non-representatives of the NFLPA say that he's open for business and he wants out. Well, if you want out, play the cards right. And I think the way to do that right now is with an agent.
Yeah, you are I can see the road you're traveling down, Hutt, and it, you know, whether I think he's possibly at a point, Lamar, that it's almost, and, you know, I think as humans we are this way. When we're so dug in on mm-hmm. one stance, that it's hard for us, even if we see what's in front of us and we see what everyone else is saying, it's hard for us to then backpedal. He probably see, and I think he started to backpedal a little bit, he probably saw way before the season ended that Deshaun Watson contract, isn't attainable. It's not feasible. No team is doing that contract. So he sort of, in a sense, backed off of that from what we understand. But now he wants more than Kyler Murray, which, okay, I can understand that. But the agent part, I think he's put himself possibly in a corner of, okay, I chose not to go with an agent, and I've dug myself in. Now I may have to get an agent, and I really don't want to because I don't want everyone saying, see, I told you so.
Right. But I would also say that Lamar Jackson represents every NFL player, and not every player. Let me back this up. He represents every quarterback right now for the future because the owners have dug in and said they're not going to give the Deshaun Watson contract again. You know, they're really upset with Haslam. But some of these owners have the money to do so. And if you look around, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert are eligible for extensions right now. You mentioned Kyler Murray. I believe he's making this upcoming season in salary, just money paid to him, $46 million. Above him only exists two quarterbacks, Rodgers and Wilson. And what Lamar was offered, at least reported to be offered, was $133 million with 68% of that money. It was more than 133. It was 133 guaranteed is what he was offered. That was 68% of the total money that would have been reported in this massive deal with Baltimore, which is what, you know, the team wants to act like is massive. But I was listening to your show early in the week, Mace, where you said your contract with the Titans, 5 years, $3 million guaranteed, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, all this comes down, he's representing the QBs for the future. And I have not been one of those that is siding with the owners saying the Watson contract is so dumb that another quarterback doesn't buy in and deserve that. I don't think Watson did, but I think a guy like Lamar Jackson, who's done the exact opposite of Deshaun Watson in terms of his career path on and off the field, where he has got an MVP and he's got a team that has shaped an offense around him, and he's winning games. Watson's great, but his team won four games last time he played in Houston. I look at this and say, if Burrow and Herbert aren't going to dig in Cincinnati and L.A., you can argue maybe they don't have the ownership to pay the guaranteed money. Bisciotti's got it. And if you're an NFL player right now and you're staring at a NFLPA representative and you see the TV money and you see your share and then you see the share of what you're getting at the gate and in parking, which is zero – concessions, zero. I don't know why you're not rooting for the fully guaranteed money for one of the top 10 players in the NFL. I don't hear that enough. And I think if you want change in terms of pay compared to what you're getting in the NBA and Major League Baseball, right now you're in an era where you have the best quarterbacks coming up with contracts. And then you have some other restructurings if these guys get that type of money. But honestly, it's tough to turn down $150 million plus, and I wouldn't turn it down either, despite the money on paper looking like $300 to $400 million.
We'll stick around with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063 The Game. Hey, join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. So sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360 is with us.
Now, Hutt, I was just talking to the gang here off air, and I don't know if you remember this. This had to happen like in the mid-'80s, late-'80s, 90s, somewhere around there, where these, I think it was like five of the top quarterbacks were all represented by the same agency or agent, and sort of they were working out deals based upon that. And, you know, if
used
one
to
guy,
be Tom Condon that did all absolute, those deals, right?
Absolutely. So And I bring that up to say this because, I you know, what you were saying toward the end, like when you're talking about Joe Burrow and these other quarterbacks that came out in that class, eventually what are they going to get? They're going to start to set the market, push Deshaun Watson to the side. These quarterbacks now, and you're right, the guaranteed money, everyone, I think, as a player, should be on the side of Lamar Jackson, because what ultimately he gets sets the market, I believe, not only for the quarterbacks, but it sets the market for those top tier, even the sort of mid tier players in regards to, you know, guarantee money. And if you can get a Lamar Jackson getting guaranteed money, then you get a Joe Burrow getting guaranteed money, and then so forth and so on. You're talking about these quarterbacks that have negotiated, whether through their agents or in Lamar case by himself, their guaranteed money throughout their whole contract. I don't understand why players aren't backing them in a sense, because what they do, it's a trickle-down effect to me, I believe.
No doubt. I mean, and look, not every team can do this.
Exactly.
A lot of them are strapped with whatever they've got currently under the guaranteed money and what it would cost to get rid of the quarterback they have, right? That, like the Titans last year with Tannehill. So not every team qualifies as eligible currently, but some do. And Mace, I'll be blunt with you. I don't know what Demoris Smith does for the NFLPA. Don't know. And other than just mention that they're investigating collusion, but I don't know where any of that goes. He's available whenever the negotiations come up for their collective bargaining agreement. And then I don't hear from him. I don't see him, or the decision from the Browns to sign Watson. That's a tough one to back, right? Mm-hmm. Based on what had gone on the last year and a half for NFLPA or the NFL. I understand why you don't come out publicly, you know, raving and throwing a parade down the street like you're on Bourbon Street, you know, with all the bells and whistles going off. But in this case, with the what we're about to see, are the best quarterbacks not get the type of deal that Watson just received, and not even close to it? Like, again, 68% of the money that would be on paper is guaranteed to Lamar Jackson, compared to 100 for Watson. And 68% is a lot. I mean, it was a lot of guaranteed money. It would have paid him roughly $50 million a year, which would put him in the Aaron Rodgers status. But again, like if you're dug in like he is, where do you decide to draw the line? And at what point do you just say, hey, it's time to pony up and get an agent and pay the 3% or whatever it is? I just don't know why we've reached the point of, well, Baltimore's just going to match this, so there's no reason to call the guy. I disagree. I if anything, I would want Baltimore to spend more money and eat up their cap if they're going to match it. So I'm going to raise the price a little bit on the quarterback they're going to have for a few years.
But is it worth the time and energy when you know they're just going to match it anyway?
Well,
I've seen that happen in the NHL a bunch of times. Where you do all
that's
the work.
Fair.
The Philadelphia Flyers put a lot of time and energy. What can we do? The Predators will never match this if we put this in there for Shea Weber. Here you go. And the Predators said, okay, we got it. We matched it. Thanks.
No doubt. But in the spot of Shea Weber, though, I didn't think the Preds would match that deal.
They did make it tough because it was a ridiculously high deal. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and they matched it.
And the deal is still going, by the way. Still going.
And
got four more years on it.
and no doubt. No doubt.
15-year deal.
Bobby Bonilla.
So, yes, but exactly. Willie, at least in this case, you're negotiating with the guy one-on-one, at least presumably. Who knows? It may be St. Omni or whoever's not allowed to represent Tunsil but does anyway. Maybe that guy. But point being, Willie, I would at least pick up the phone whenever they're currently, you know, they're sending scouts out to watch Cam Newton throw. Like, at least pick up the phone and call Lamar Jackson. I guess that's where I'm coming from on it.
I just think the Ravens are way too smart to let him.
They've done. They've played this very well.
They know the market. They know.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. He didn't travel to Cincinnati for that playoff game, and the locker room immediately backed him post game, and then locker cleanout day, and then you had Harbaugh and DaCosta give the 200%. He's going to be here. We want him here. I mean, they have played this very well. And then they slapped the non-exclusive tag on him, where at minimum, they're paying him 20 or 33 million, something like that, on the non-exclusive instead of 45 guaranteed. And if he makes more than that, well, 45 to 50 is what they've already offered. So they're going to pay him what they've already offered. And right now they're going to pay considerably less, and they still end up with another option next year for a quarterback that's been hurt to finish the last two seasons. That's where they're coming from on it. And I don't disagree with how they've played it. I just don't know how 31 other teams have just completely moved on within an hour or two of this coming to light whenever they announced this.
Jonathan Hutton with us. So, Hutt, let's switch to the other big thing that's going to be out there. This story with Jackson and this story with Kevin Byard aren't going anywhere for a while. So let's fast forward. I mean, here we are. March isn't even over yet. June 1st is the date, right? That's when the contract changes. So with Byard, if they can't work something out on June 1st, what happens?
I mean,
they have to cut him, don't they?
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know why you let it get to that point if you're not willing to trade him during the draft. Because they would only save, correct me if I'm wrong here, they're only going to save about $6 million on the cap, right? I don't know why.
Before June 1st, you're saying.
Before June 1st, yeah. So I don't know why you would go down that path with a player who has done nothing but earn it, that has stood at the locker and answered every question on behalf of the organization. I mean, Byard spoke more on the firing of John Robinson than the organization did. I don't know why you would go down this path and kick this can. And I think Byard's done a good job by saying, no, I'm not taking a pay cut, and I don't want to be traded either. Teron had that out, and I agree with him. I don't know how here's the thing for Derek. Mm-hmm. How do you make this right if you're the Titans now? If you do want to keep him, but you need him to take a pay cut. And
That's the question.
I believe
how do you work
if you
it
went
out?
To the player, like the quarterbacks, for instance, when you go to the quarterback for a restructure, you tell them your plan and why you're doing it, and then you get some money up front by restructuring, right? You get more millions in the bank now, and you count less against the cap now. It doesn't seem like that they went to him with some grand plan other than, hey, we really want to save some money and, you know, find some other bargain deals down the road.
I think
if you're going after the quarterback, if you're going to try to break the bank and do something big, players for the most part are on board with that if they want to win, and Byard does, and they also get more money up front on the new restructure as they continue to help the team on the cap.
I think a way you can help, because those, to me, they're two different scenarios, because I think with the quarterback, you're more so inclined to, especially if he's playing at a high level, and we know the quarterback is the most important position on the field, they're more inclined to kick the can down the road with the quarterback because they feel, hey, listen, you know, if we don't have this guy, then we go from being, you know, a playoff team to not being a playoff team. I think in Byard's situation, they don't believe that, okay, if we ask him to take a pay cut, and he doesn't take a pay cut, and say we want to release him or trade him, I don't think they, in their mind, believe, okay, we're a playoff team, and then we lose Byard, and now we're not a playoff team. I don't know if the Titans or any other team looks at a safety in that fashion. Now, if you want to help the player, and he doesn't want to take a pay cut, you release him early enough that he can go find another team where he can get the money that he was owed from the other team that first year, whether it be he may not get $13 million or $14 million in contract money for that year, but he may get $7 to sign and $7 for that year, and that equals up to the $14 million he would have made here in Nashville. If you want to help the player, that's what you do. You allow him to go get as much money as he possibly can early enough before everyone else starts to get cut. I think that's – we may not like it, and initially, you may not like it as a player, but once you get out on that market and you know you're the only one on the market and you're still playing at a high level, you're going to get the most money because no one else is out there that is capable of playing the way you played.
Willie, and I love the answer, Mace, but Willie, here's how I read what they're doing. First off, they've got to sign Simmons, okay? That still is out there.
What's our ballpark of what the cap hit will be? You have to sort of budget. I mean, I guess you could set it so the cap hit this year isn't that huge, and you could set it so the cap hits a little later. Mm-hmm. I would think that's got to be in this equation because they only have $6 million against the cap as we sit here right now.
Right. Yeah. So up front with the signing bonus and all the guaranteed money, you put that away in escrow, right? And again, it all circles back, I think, to a lot of the cash on hand. You have to have a minimum of in your bankroll of cash on hand just to, on an annual basis as a team. So it's not like they don't have enough money to operate. They certainly don't based on the stadium they're about to build. But I read it this way. They need to sign Jeffrey Simmons. And I think it's also a signal of the easiest guy to restructure right now is Ryan Tannehill. Or you cut him and you save $18 million immediately. But the reality is, I think I read it as they, to win, right now they keep Henry and Tannehill and they just eat the contracts this year because restructuring or any adjustments would just cost them potential cap space in the future. And if you're going to move on from these guys a year from now, you don't want to be handcuffed by their contracts after this year, but you do want Kevin Byard on your roster after this year. So you try to get him to take a pay cut and then restructure to keep him around. They have very little commitment to Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill after 2023. They have commitment.
This is
to
where
Kevin
you can
Byard.
Bite the bullet on those two. For
you,
sure.
You bite the bullet with two guys that can help you win now or help you stay competitive now. And Byard is a part of your plan beyond this season as you begin to retool and rebuild the roster in this new Rand Carthon era where they are. And this is all, by the way, this is all necessitated by the fact that they have drafted so bad and they carry currently very few rookie contracts. This is the shape
they're
in. That
have any meat to them, that have a lot of value to them. They've got right? guys that are going to be on there, mm-hmm. but are they getting a lot of bang for that? That's a really good point.
Are you getting the production? And they paid Byard for his production because he was a successful draft pick. He's one of the few. And now they're going to him to take a trying to get him to take a pay cut in order to necessitate what they're trying to do to win now, but also build for the future. And it's just not lining up. And I don't blame Byard for saying no.
Okay, here's the question that I don't think we can know the answer, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you think with the collaborative in that building, they know what they want to do? Or do you think there's an internal debate on which direction to go with all of these dilemmas they have?
Well, I think they know what they want to do without a trade offer for Tannehill. Hypothetically, if Rodgers came out of his black hole retreat and said, hey, I'm retired, what would the Jets do? They'd panic and they'd give you something. Again, like I'm just throwing out the hypothetical that did not happen. Based on the contract now and what you could do, here's the thing. I do view the Titans as one of the more unpredictable teams in the draft. Beyond just the fact that we don't know what Carthon will do, it also could include a quarterback. And I think it's worth at least discussing as we get down that path because of the money you can save on the cap with Tannehill. Again, just saying, I keep that option open because I really don't know what Carthon's thinking. And I would guess, and I think it's, it's an obvious point to make, that he's not hired unless he's in alignment with what Mike Vrabel is doing. And I've said this from day one with the discussion. Vrabel's not signing up for some rebuild in a losing season. And right now, currently, the best option to be competitive is with Tannehill and Henry in the backfield. So I think that's the path. It's also due in part to their cap structure. And if they really have the option to move up and get a quarterback that they love, so be it. Tannehill doesn't have to be here. And you can move forward with your quarterback of the future. But it's got to be the right guy at the right price. And it can't dictate what else you do to be competitive this season. Because, again, I don't think Vrabel's signing up to be the Houston Texans.
Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. Appreciate you for joining us as always. And excited for some upcoming renovations on the show coming soon.
Yes, thank you. Looking forward to the debut on Monday of that. And Willie, I'm headed to Madison Square Garden for the first time. I'm going up with Outkick and Fox tomorrow. If they win, I'll be there for the weekend. I love New York. I've been there a lot, but I've never been inside the garden, and I cannot wait for the Sweet 16.
Very unique. Very unique. You're going to like it. It's awesome. And you just stumble out of there and, walk in any direction, you'll find fun stuff going on. You'll be right in the middle of the action. It's very unique.
Awesome. I'll make sure that Chad is singing Sinatra.
Yeah, a little Sinatra will go a long way.
City's so nice, they named it twice. Safe travels, Hutton.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, Hutton. Hutton hit on something that I think is really important. He hit on something that I think can maintain and preserve the Titans' competitiveness this year and also save the future in the next coming years. And let's discuss that coming up next. And, of course, your phone, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Billy, D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game.